Good morning. We'll go ahead and get started here today with Sunday school. Kind of missed Sunday school last week, but boy, that was a good week last week. So I want to praise the Lord for Easter and just the meeting. Just God answered prayer. And, God answered prayer. So that was very, very encouraging. And it's been exciting to see what God's going to do, even in the aftermath of that. So, all right. Anyone else like to share a praise or a prayer request? Yes, sir. Pray for Dan and Kathy as they travel, have a meeting in Indiana, and evangelistic effort there, and then also traveling to see Fortenberry and children's, and together we'll pray for you guys. All right, anyone else? Yes, Robert? Okay, all right. We'll pray. Appreciate Charlotte always praising the Lord for his goodness and just a faithful God to us week after week. But also pray for the children and also pray for Charlotte today, not feeling the best. So we'll pray for your signs of faith. All right, anyone else? Yes. Oh my. Okay. Okay, all right. Well, we've been Okay. Yeah, we're praying for that. Oh my. Okay. He's okay. Okay. Okay, wow. Ooh, boy, I say the Lord's protection all the time is we don't even see it. Okay. All right, let's pray for continue to pray for Dee, a friend of Jan's who's a desire to reach with the gospel and has not only broken ribs but broken hand and broken arm, so pray for her healing, and the Lord will open up the door for her to be able to come. And, okay. Okay. Okay, so friend at your place where you stay, Carol, Carolyn. And we'll pray that, let's ask the Lord to show his power in her life and bring deliverance. So, all right. And then also pray for grandson Mason in a car accident this weekend. So, all right. Lord, we use that to bring salvation to his life. So, okay. All right, anyone else? Yes, sir. Right, that is a praise. And yeah, he looked really good. Looked better than when he came out of the neck surgery. So that was a good thing. So pray, continue to pray for. So pray for his healing. Pray for his salvation. So. All right. Anyone else? Yes. Oh. Good. Okay, very good. We'll pray for James under the weather today. So for that. And then continue to pray for Trace. Thanks for that update. We'll continue to hold him in prayer. So. Good. Yes, honey. All right. Yeah, so very nice. So we'll pray for Doug and Shelley. We'll miss them over a couple week here, so but may the Lord bless them. They're taking some Bibles with them, so they didn't know who he's going to meet, but he's planning on giving them out. So I'll be in prayer for the gospel witness as they go. So that's, I always appreciate that heart. That's okay. Okay, Martha. Okay, yeah, let's pray for them. All right, so yeah, we'll miss her while she's away. Glad she can get away. So, yes. Okay, good. So, that's neat. So, praying for Kim and her outreach to her students. And, that's good. It is coming to the end here at school. So, it's a good time. Yes, sir. Is that the last one? It's the last one. All right. That is good. That's good. Well, praise the Lord for that. So, all right. Anyone else? So if I'm looking that way, make sure anybody on this. Oh, yes. Put them out. Maybe it'll break down again. No. All right. Well, we'll pray for this young man. And it is neat that we're just a part of a journey. We get to have a little part in people's lives. You know, God sees the whole. We just get to have, we're just marching soldiers. So it's good. Yes. Okay, yeah, that's great. It's neat. It's always good to try to do business with folks and make relationships for the express purpose of trying to win them to the Lord, praying over them. And so it's good, taking advantage of those opportunities. Excellent. Yes, sir? Oh, absolutely. We have three more. Yes. Okay. Yes, we're good. Well, that can be our first announcement in terms of we are kind of doing, so we're going to try to do a little bit of a cantata for July the 4th. So it'll be something a little bigger this year, and I think it's going to be good. It challenged us spiritually, I think, and it'll be a good thing to invite others to. So that's good. We'll try to make a flyer so you can remind me with it. So that'll be good. All right. Anyone else add to these prayer requests or praises? Yes. Yes. I appreciate that. That's good to hear that. So we'll continue to pray for Joanne and just down at the Guest Home Estates, and we'll help her to grow as a believer. That would be very good. So, excellent. Continue to pray for the jail ministry as we go out this afternoon. And, Lord will use that. There's a constant turnover. It's amazing just then on Thursday and looking around and saying, where's that guy? Where's that guy? Where's that guy? So they're gone and they're back out, or they're at a drug rehab facility or something like that. So I appreciate your welcoming spirit. Whenever they come here, it's a big step for them to come through those doors, and we can really reach out and love on them. It's a really, really significant in their lives. So. And sometimes we see them here for a while, and then they fade away a little bit. So that's something. There's the others that we're praying for, that they'll come back. And so it's kind of the nature of ministry. You just love people while you can. So, all right. Anyone else add to these prayer requests? Yes, sorry. Israel. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot going on. You want to talk about wars and rumors of wars? It's more than you can. I mean, we got Pakistan and India coming to the throat with each other. And, yeah, there's a lot going on. And you talk about the death of the Pope, and now you're going to have a new religious leader on the scene, and the turn that will make. So keep your eyes to the sky, because his coming draws nigh. So, but continue to pray for Israel. All right. Anyone else? Yes, okay. 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 Amen. So, to reach them while they're children. So really, what a blessing. So, yes, pray for this young foster girl that Carrie knows and outreach, and also just for the KRI ministry. And I guess the update is we haven't really been pushing for anybody to come with us for right now, because every time we've come, they haven't let us in. So we've had a little difficulty with that, but this past week everything kind of worked according to plan, and so we're kind of seeing what would be next. So it'll be this Saturday we'll be going back in, and so hopefully that'll pick up steam. And we're just kind of feeling like the workers are going to start right expecting us, right? It's going to become a part of the normal plan, and so hopefully that'll take place. I think it's taken a while, but I think that's happening. So continue to pray for that. Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, let's pray for Chip, and it was a blessing to see him on Sunday. So yeah, there's a lot of answers to prayer all around the room. I could see it. There were people that came out, and so just keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Good. Okay. Well, we'll pray for one another throughout the week, and we'll take our Bibles and read in Romans chapter 16. So we'll have just a time of some silent reading here together. And I'll have you read all the way up to verse 20. So go all the way to verse 20 in Romans chapter 16. little bit more time. Finishing up there. Now there's some interesting names along there, but I hope it does remind us as we read through this of that joyful day when the Lord gives his commendations. He's going to call name by name. He's going to speak a word of encouragement and of blessing upon us because of the work that he has done through us. And he's going to be admired in all those who believe in him. So it's through us that Jesus Christ is going to be admired and glorified. And they're going to say, man, look at that dirty dog rascal, Ben Heffernan. Look what God did through him. You know, and it'll be, he's going to get the glory. And he's going to get the praise. And so this is a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture that reminds us not just of Paul's greeting, but of the Holy Spirit's and God's attitude towards these believers. And we've looked at a lot of the individual ones, and we looked at last time Priscilla and Aquila, so we're working our way back to the beginning. And the first one here is, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. And so we have a woman to be commended. And it's really a beautiful thing here, just to get a little small insight into the activity of the early church. And so what makes her remarkable? Well, he says her name is Phoebe. Phoebe is the name of a pagan god. And so you have this element that kind of lets you know that she's probably a Gentile. She grew up in a home where her parents, when she was born, they called her off after a Greek god in the pantheon and all of that wicked idolatry and abominations. And yet he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. That she, at some point along the line, saw Jesus Christ in his for who he was, to be the Savior. And she called upon his name. And she entered into the family of God. And it wasn't just that she entered in, but she became a participant. She was engaged. And it says that she is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. Now I see two things in this. One of them is the element of the sacrifice. Being willing to get down and just to do what's needed to serve other people. Service is, what can I benefit you? And it's not just material things, but material things are included in that for certain. But there is a real spiritual dimension that says, what can I do to further your faith in the Lord Jesus? How can I bless you? And there is a real, and so we've looked at the spiritual gifts in terms of that there's the speaking gifts, but there's also the serving gifts. And we don't know exactly to what degree, but when we talk about serving, probably the indication here is that she was, in terms of a Martha with all the good connotations of that, but she was busy serving the Lord, like some of these others who labored in the Lord. And I see an element here that there's a particularity. She wasn't just a servant to all the churches, but that she was a servant to a particular church. That she was engaged at her local church and engaged, and God was using her, and it was noteworthy. And he said, and so we're going to see that that's we're going to find out why she's so significant here in just a moment. Charles Haddon Spurgeon spoke of a lady in his church. Her name was Lavinia Strickland Bartlett. And she took a small little Sunday school class of three, and she began to meet with these little girls, and she began to teach them and encourage them. And the end result of her Sunday school class is that they would have a meeting of 700. She really went off the... I'm just going to read a little bit of what Spurgeon wrote about her. He says, a woman of intense force of character. She believed with all her heart and therefore acted with decision and power. Hence, she didn't constantly look to the pastor for help in her appointed service, but beginning in a small, quiet way, toiled on till all things grew around her to large proportions. She took small account of difficulty or discouragement, but trusted in God and went on calmly, sure of success, as if she saw it with her own eyes. When anything flagged, she only seemed to throw out more energy, waited upon God more fervently, and pushed forward with the resolve to conquer. Deborah herself could not be more perfectly God-reliant than Mrs. Bartlett was. She did not beat the air or run at an uncertainty, but used expressions as, "I know God will help us," or "It must be done." "It shall be done, sister. You'll do it." These expressions were just the sort of speeches we expected from her. She flamed in determined investment when only fire could have cleared a path. And then there was no withstanding her, as her class very well knew. And so she got a hold of the Lord, and she said, "I want to see God do something." And she took on a small responsibility and took it on with all of her heart. And it's just a beautiful, when she passed away, Spurgeon wrote this as her epitaph. It says, "In affectionate memory of Miss Lavinia Strickland Bartlett, who departed to her blissful home on August 1st, 1875, in her 69th year, the pastors, elders, deacons of the church and Metropolitan Tabernacle unite with her class and the students of the college in erecting this memorial to her surpassing work. She was indeed a mother in Israel. Often did she say, 'Keep near the cross, my sister.' We cannot but sorrow this day, for the Lord has taken away a sister, a true servant of the church, a consecrated woman whom he honored above many and to whom he gave many crowns of rejoicing. And we cannot but sorrow all the more, because so loving a mother in Israel has fallen asleep, so useful a life has come to a close, and so earnest a voice is hushed in silence. I have this day lost from my side one of the most faithful, fervent, and efficient of my helpers." What a powerful testimony of a pastor for a godly woman who persevered and took on a ministry and kept on going, even into her later years of her life. What is Phoebe aspect? He says, "I want you to receive her in the Lord." Why does the church need to receive her? Because she is present with them. She came from Paul to the church. She's the carrier of the letter. Someone needed to, and I mean, in terms of taking on travel, that was no small deal. When we look at Ephesians, we find that Epaphras almost died on his journey trying to deliver the message from Paul, from the Philippians, to Paul. And he said, he sent him back because they were so concerned about his health and how he had, so there's aspect of the art that, you know, ship, travel wasn't airplane flights weren't as good back then, and you know, it's just this aspect of travel was pretty dicey, and then you have this element of you traveling to different places and the sicknesses that come from that. And so there was a need for someone to carry the letter to Rome. If Paul was in prison, and this lady stepped up and said, "I'll do it." Now there seems to be an indication here that she may have been single. Because there, she is in need of assistance. He says, "Receive her as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor or a helper of many and of myself. And so he's saying, she's coming. Put her up. Take care of her. Any needs that she has, you meet those needs and bless her because of what she's bringing to you and how she's a helpful. And so I think there's this element of really an encouraging thought to think about, just a little window into one lady's life. We don't know much about her, but we know that she was sacrificial, that she was a helper, not just of one, but of many. And this was the nature and character of life. When I think of someone like this, I think of someone like Amy Carmichael, who goes off and just feels the passion and burden to serve the Lord. And in her capacity, God blesses her and starts up an orphanage in India. And but that's the most famous thing she's known for. But other aspects of her life were quite incredible. And I think of Elizabeth Elliot. There's an element of someone who lost her husband and yet continued to go on and wanted to go back into the tribes. And he just had a real passion for the Lord, willing to serve, willing to bless. It's interesting. I'll just share this little poem and we'll end this section here. Eliza Crowe, put this way, Sarah's obedience, Lydia's open heart, Martha's care, but Mary's better part. And what a beautiful picture of what God wants from godly young, godly ladies, godly women. And so we kind of bring this whole thing to a conclusion. Verses 1 through 16 are dealing with Christian fellowship. God wants us to love one another, to enjoy the company of each other, to encourage each other. And there's this warm-hearted friendship, companionship. We're in the same family. We are ministering for the same goal. We have suffered the same deprivations. We are experiencing a common enemy and attack. We have everything to bind us together and to keep us united. A preacher put it this way. He said, "I thank God that we have a great many warm-hearted Christians in connection with this church. I will make bold to say true and lovely saints as I have never expected to live to see." Let me say that again. "I will make bold to say such true and lovely saints as I never expected to live to see." I feel that way. I feel that way about our church. We have some godly, warm-hearted people here that love the Lord, and we love each other. And when we get together, it's notable from the outside looking in that we love one another. He says, "Though we are not free from 10,000 faults, yet I have often admired the goodness of God, which has enabled us with the hearty grip by which we hold each other by the hand and say we love each other for Christ's sake and for the truth's sake. And we hope to live in each other's love till we die, wishing if it were possible to be buried side by side." That's friendship. That's camaraderie. That's kinship. That's family. You ought to feel that way at church. It ought to be our goal to make everyone feel that way. But ultimately, there's an aspect that we have to. There's an element that every part, you're a part of the church as much as you want to be a part of the church. But I'd say, do more. Be a part of it more. Come more. Get involved more. Pray for one another more. Get together with each other outside of church. And enjoy the blessing that we have in fellowship in Jesus Christ. There's an aspect to which a strife or schism were ever to come to this church, we would value the love and the joy that we have right now. We really would. And sometimes it's not, you don't really learn to appreciate something until you've lost it. So there's an element that the Holy Spirit, we know that one of his roles is he is a maintainer of the unity of the body of Christ. And so that should be our goal too, that the Spirit of God is working in our hearts to move, to encourage, to build each other up, to be united in the Lord and with one another. So that's a wonderful aspect. And so you can say, the churches of Christ salute you. What God has done in us to save us, we have a wonderful blessing. Now, in the few moments we have left, let's turn to verses 17 through 20. And he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, that I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." And so here's an element of, we've got three amens to close this out. Well, four, really, if you count the end of chapter 15. And so it's kind of a beautiful thing. We'll look through this, but we need to understand here that there is a change of topic. But it really is not a drastic change. it really does work in concert with one with another. And what we have to understand this, and this is an important truth. And I stand up here, I want to beg you, I want to beseech you, hear me out and listen to what I have to say, and well, not what I have to say, listen to what God's Word has to say, and respond to it, because there is an element that some people would say, yes, this is what we need. We need more unity, and we need more fellowship, and we need more of our brethren, and all this. And yes, this is what Paul has been talking about. But there is a time when you have to note somebody and say, we've got to avoid that person. We call this the doctrine of separation. If you want to preserve the purity of the unity, if you want to protect this fellowship, if you truly love, then there will be some things that you hate. Someone who loves everything doesn't love anybody but themselves. Now, there's an element to, there's an aspect of which we have to look at in terms of different personalities. There's the personality who we might call the militant personality. And they love truth. And they hear a verse like this and they're like, yes, amen. And those are the people that tend to kind of be a little prickly sometimes, you know, you're like, and then they can push through something, and we need that element. And then we've got some on the other side. Are there not some personalities on the other side where they are very compassionate, very empathetic, very loving? And whether when you hear this idea of Christian fellowship and love for everybody and unity, oh, their heart yearns. And it's like, yes, Lord. But when God says you've got to mark some people and you've got to separate from them and you've got to respond, it's very challenging. Their heart pulls back from that and say, it doesn't sound like the love of the Lord. So there are situations that God's going to put us in that will actually determine, distinguish whether we have a sentimental love based on our personality or we have a godly love based off of the Holy Spirit and His truth. Because someone, and I put myself on this camp over here, you know, I don't know how lovable I am. I don't like confrontation. I'd rather avoid that if possible, you know, and that's kind of my inclination. But you know what happens? If there's someone that I'm supposed to confront, and I don't confront, I'm not serving the Lord Jesus. Who am I serving? I'm serving myself. Because I don't like it. I don't want to do that. Okay? So we have to have a wonderful balance, and the Scripture presents that balance for us here in this passage of Scripture and Romans chapter 16 as a whole. And so it's very fascinating in the context of Romans. Don't forget this, that he's closing this letter. He's commending all these people, but he has to finish with a warning because there's a grave danger. There's a danger of error. You might be able to tell that I've been reading a little bit of a biography on Spurgeon, so it kind of comes in a few of my... In 1886... Charles Spurgeon pastored the largest church in the world, over 10,000 people. Part of Mrs. Bartlett, part of that Sunday school class, but they had large, huge Sunday school. They had to build a huge tabernacle, places for people to meet. They had almshouses, orphanage, a pastor's college, missionary agencies, printed books, edited magazines like The Sword and Trowel, and just constantly the sermons were being published and edited every single week. Just an incredible ministry going out from that church. And his ministry was, in some ways, you could say, one long harvest. And that's the way he would describe it. But the last 5 years of his life, he confronted something that's called the downgrade controversy. See, in the Baptist Union in England, they incorporated men who did not believe certain truths. And they began to be skeptical of certain things that are clearly taught in the Bible. Spurgeon went to them privately When they did not respond, he went public. And in the end, he left the Baptist Union and separated from them. He defined the controversy in this way. He says, when there is no spiritual union, there can be no pretense of communion. If we don't have true union in Christ, he says, I can't put on and act like we're brothers when we're not brothers. That's the idea he's saying there. And yet, the Baptist Union censored him. And the controversy hurt his health and ultimately led to his death. There's an element to which they came and met him because he was trying to get away into Europe because of his health in France. And they sent a delegation to where he was at to convince him to change his ways because he was being divisive. He was fracturing the unity and the fellowship. But you know what they were denying? They were denying cardinal doctrines, like we're not really sure if Christ rose from the dead. We're not really sure if miracles happened in the Bible, like Jonah swallowed by a whale. A virgin birth? There has never been a virgin birth. That's biologically impossible. God the Father would take out all of his wrath on the Son? What divine child abuse? No, Jesus Christ came as an example for us all. Men born sinners on their way to hell? No! Men have bad examples and they're sick, but they need someone to show them the way. And they began to teach different truths that are against what the Bible has told us. You know, he said, nope, we cannot. You are denying the truth. You are introducing error. He said, I cannot fellowship. You know, that has to be, we may look back to things, it's easy to look back at things in the past. We'll look at some things even closer to that. But the closer we get, the more current you get in your application, the more troublesome it is for us to understand. Because those are the people that we know. Those are the people we see. Those are the people whose books we read, who've been a blessing in some way or that, and yet there's one aspect here. I want to be careful because I don't know if I have, I wish I have the clarity of thought that I wish I could communicate the clarity of thought. I wish I had the clarity of thought, all right. There is an element of someone denying salvation. We're going to talk about that. If you deny anything that's, there's a gulf here. But there's also an aspect of we have the development that takes place is what happens if Pastor so-and-so here stands up and says, you know what, I am not convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All right, so you've got something dramatically, horribly wrong here in the term of the error. Now he's teaching this. And you say, the Bible's clear, mark them which cause division and offenses and avoid them. We have to separate them. And he talked to someone, brother over here, and he says, do you believe in the Son of God? Oh, yes, I do. And they hold the straight gospel. And you're like, praise the Lord. And he said, what did you do last week? Well, I went over and preached at that brother's church. You're like, what? Wait a second. The Bible says that he fits into this category and we're supposed to separate from that. And he said, well, I don't think we ought to do that. And now you've got this situation where you have to separate from false teachers, but then there's a command that we have to do towards believers who will not obey the Scripture in regards to false teachers. And so that becomes a bit of a challenge for us, but the Bible lays these things out for us. And I really do want us to take away that this is not something that you and I... Oh, okay. Okay, I don't have time to do what I was going to do. That's fine. This is the way the Lord wants it to end then. We don't get to decide how to respond. God has already told us how to respond. and that we have to see verse 17 as an exhortation. I beseech you, I exhort you, brethren, mark them. Scope them out is the idea. You keep an eye on them that cause division and offenses, and avoid them. God has told us what to do. And so that we need wisdom in terms of who falls into that category. We want to be careful. But we cannot go into this and determine these things based on our feelings, our inclinations. We have to just simply follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have to separate from someone, that is not against the love of Christ. That is following the love of Christ. Because he says the consequences for those who follow them is not good. It's bad. And so we have to, there's an element that sometimes what's used is the benefit. Well, so-and-so got saved in that ministry. Therefore, that ministry is can be condoned. Well, I would say someone got saved but in spite of the compromise of that ministry. Not because of the compromise. No one's ever getting saved because they compromised, because they disobeyed. And they said, well, we had to go there to do that, and we had to participate in that to reach them. No, God can work and God can move, and I'm not here to diminish someone other ministry, but we have to be careful to never compromise the truth and be willing to separate. Where God draws the line, you say, all right. And it can be painful. It can be difficult. And so we're going to look at the scriptures in the New Testament that deal with this subject and look at these words and specifically and maybe make some application. All right, you're dismissed. And appreciate your attentiveness.